Where's Stevie's higher ground when we need it, huh? It's just not there. So, this is Juneteenth. Now, the papers are filled today with explanations to you ignorant white people what Juneteenth is and demands for Juneteenth to be a national holiday. Black people seem to want Juneteenth to be a national holiday. I mean, I've known about Juneteenth for a long time. I must confess, I didn't really understand it. It is the day a proclamation arrived from the East telling the slaves of Texas that they were free. It was 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. And I just thought, you know, I know communications were slow back then, but 2 years to get from the East Coast to, I think, Galveston by ship. So 2 years, slaves in Texas continue to be slaves after Lincoln freed the slaves. I never really understood why. And to tell you the truth, to this day, I don't really understand why it's so important to black people, but it is. And they'd like to have a holiday about it. And I guess I'd like an explanation as to why a message that you are free arriving 2 years late is a reason to celebrate. But okay, look, clearly the message today, with all that we are seeing behind the explosive Black Lives Matter movement, is get the fuck out of the way before this train hits you. Listen to Amy Klobuchar.
This is a historic moment, and America must seize on this moment. And I truly believe, as I actually told the vice president last night when I called him, that I think this is a moment to put a woman of color on that ticket.
So Amy Klobuchar got the message. You know, white girl's not going to be on that ticket. Get out of the way while you can. I mean, don't make yourself, you know, don't show these people that you're stubborn. They'll get angry. You know, last night in Portland, anything goes in Portland, let's face it. A statue of George Washington was toppled and a whole bunch of anti-white messages proclaimed on the base, you know, spray painted on. We have an instance in Nebraska. I'm not sure where it is in Nebraska, but a restaurant has closed permanently. The owner's afraid for the safety of themselves and their employees. And this was the result of a protest that was organized over an item on the menu. And it was the Robert E. Lee sandwich on the menu in Nebraska. And one of the organizers of the protest, not the lead guy, not the guy who thought it up, but, you know, one of, described the negotiations that, you know, eventually broke down because his compatriots kept escalating their demands, got up to where they were, you know, not only remove the item from the menu, not only replace it with the name of a black hero, I don't know, Frederick Douglass, Booker T. Washington, somebody like that, but pay $1,000 to a black organization. No, make it $500,000.
The demand was to remove Robert E. Lee off the menu and replace it with a black icon or black Union soldier like Frederick Douglass. They said, okay, we will do that. also demanded a public apology.
Okay.
They said, okay, I will do that. I went outside and I told them, I was like, yes, I'm calling off the protest. By that time, people was already lining up. People was already outside, ready to start protesting. I was like, okay, well, we met all the demands. We should be good to go. We should be fine to leave now. That wasn't good enough for people.
No, it was not good enough for people. And they were going to protest anyway, and they were going to continue to target the people in that restaurant. And they decided, the people that owned that restaurant decided to get the fuck out of the way. There was nothing to do but run for your life. Then there's the example of, I mean, this one blew my mind. It just blew my mind. Dan Cathy, who's the CEO of Chick-fil-A. Now, Chick-fil-A has had battles with leftists for a long time because of the corporate religious beliefs. You can't get a Chick-fil-A sandwich on a Sunday. Go to church. But Dan Cathy is on some talk show, and he's explaining how, as a white person, he and you and me need to go shine the shoes of a black person whenever we see one. We should carry a shoe brush around. See a black person, should kneel down and shine their shoes because of racial guilt.
So I invite folks to put some words to action here. And if we need to find somebody that needs to have their shoe shine, we need to just go right on over and shine their shoes. Any expressions of a contrite heart, of a sense of humility, a sense of shame, a sense of embarrassment, beget with an apologetic heart.
This thing of prostrating oneself for the sins of our grandfathers and great-grandfathers and so forth on back in time, it just strikes me as a little much. And a lot much, if you want to know the truth. And Tucker talks about this. I'm just telling you, Tucker is the best thing on TV right now. Now, eventually he may turn into the worst thing on TV. I don't know. You can't predict the future, but right now he is dead on. And he's talking about how the idea of equality has blown up in this country. There are people we do not have an equality-based country at this moment. There are people who are unequal because of their skin color, white. And there are people who are more equal because of their skin color, not white, whatever that is. And I think his observations are unfortunately dead on.
Now, for the first time in our history, we're witnessing a broad and powerful attack on the principle of equality. Daily, we are told that all people are not, in fact, created equal. Some were born with moral stain. Others were not. Some Americans are guilty. Some are innocent. Nothing can change this because it was all determined at birth. All we can do is respond accordingly. People in favored groups must be held to one standard. Those in disfavored groups, the morally tainted ones, must be held to another standard. The country retains one set of laws, mostly for the sake of formality, but we must apply those laws in very different ways, according to the DNA and the background of the accused. Look around. Is anyone empowered defending absolute equality under the law? If there was ever a time to remind America that we all have equal value under God, that time is right now. But no, no one in charge is saying that. Our leaders are cowards when we need them to be brave. They are muddled when we need them to think clearly. It's possible they no longer even believe in equality.
I think he's right. I think there's people, and for reasons having to do with the politics of the moment, seeing a sea of faces, some white, some not white, seems to them to be now an opportunity to gather those votes, to say the right thing, and to tell the people not white, you are raised above those who are. That seems to work for getting votes. That's what appears to be going on. And, you know, once again, the people who are just rushing to get out of the way, they see this train coming down the track in San Francisco. Now, you know, San Francisco is, I mean, you kind of expect this, but there's a thing called Coit Tower. It's on a hill, Telegraph Hill, it's called. And when you go up to Coit Tower, it's sort of a circular driveway. You drive up and you drive around. You either park or go back down the winding road into North Beach. And right smack in the middle of that circular parking lot is a statue of Christopher Columbus. Well, you know, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. And sure enough, there was a protest organized to go tear down the Christopher Columbus statue, which, by the way, weighs 2 tons. So the people who run the Coit Tower, it's kind of a private commission, realized 2 things. One, that statue was going to get pulled down. And 2, somebody's going to get hurt. You know, your 2-ton statue comes down, it's going to hit somebody. And 3, there was just no reason or way to, you know, defend it. I mean, you just get more trouble defending Christopher Columbus. So very quietly at night, they went up there and took it down and took it somewhere. I don't know where. Indigenous people movement leader said, I felt a breath of fresh air that he was gone. Robert E. Lee, Christopher Columbus, Jefferson Davis, Stonewall Jackson, Braxton Bragg, all of these symbols of racism are now being expunged. What are they going to do about Mount Rushmore? Isn't Jefferson up there? Isn't Washington up there? Are they going to go all Taliban on us and demand those faces be jackhammered off Mount Rushmore? I think they're pretty damn close to jackhammering that relief off the Kennesaw Mountain in Georgia, or is it Tennessee? I can't remember. But in which shows the Confederate heroes on their horses. I'm sure sooner or later you could put guys on ropes and dangle them over the edge and have them jackhammer it off, or you could just get the U.S. Army to come in and blow it up, just like the Taliban did in Afghanistan. I mean, you could do that. And I wouldn't be damn bit surprised if that's what happened. I have on my shelf here, I didn't buy it. It was, somebody was giving away their book collection of a relative. And I like books, so I took them. And included in the group was a 4-volume biography of Robert E. Lee, published in 1925 by, I think, Scribner. Won the Pulitzer Prize that year. I think I'm supposed to burn it. Or pulp it or something. I'm not going to, of course. But that's kind of what it's come to. And in his own inimitable way, Donald Trump is pointing out what's going to happen if the Democrats win.
I feel that if the Democrats get in, we are literally going to end up in a recession/depression, the likes of which you've never seen. There will be tremendous negative growth. There will be tremendous bedlam all over the place. There won't be law and order. You'll have a Seattle. You'll have a Minneapolis like you've never seen before. The whole country will be Minneapolis.
I think he's right about that. The whole country is going to be Minneapolis. Now, Brad Parscale, who's running his campaign, says, well, it ain't going to happen.
Well, first of all, we're not going to lose in November. That's just not going to happen. We're going to win. The president is We haven't even seen him even get started yet on Joe Biden. So as we still got a long ways to go.
Yeah. Well, and I just remind you that, you know, Biden's very likely to pick Kamala Harris as his vice presidential pick. He's ahead in the polls. Should he win, Kamala Harris is going to be president in no time. And this is a guy who's so frail and so just out of it. I mean, completely out of it.
My message is twofold. Number one, the next president of the United States, I think you'd all have to admit, is going to have to be able to do two things. How's that?
What the hell?
Someone's phone
call.
Oh. It's your staff.
Oh, what the hell is that? That's a phone. That's a phone call. What the hell is that? And he says the most outrageous things that are in such contrast to his record. I mean, this is that whole setup was a campaign deal where they brought in people and they're talking to Joe Biden and asking him various questions that are kind of set up questions. And there was a black woman who, you know, just it was her job to sort of confront him about his record, which he was in complete denial.
Mr. Vice President, former Mayor Michael Bloomberg has apologized for his record on stop and frisk and the decisions that he made in that policy. Just asking for a little bit of self-reflection here. Is there anything that you have changed your mind about, specifically related, I would say, to your record or your thinking, your personal views on race or busing or anything over the years?
No, not on race or busing, because, you know, I think you've all been kind of shocked how much black support I have. Overwhelming black support in my home state. Overwhelming black support with the black caucus. Overwhelming black support with the black community because they know me. And I've never been ashamed of anything I've done. I've fought for the African-American community.
Yeah, you did.
About that cadre of young people. Tens of thousands of them, born out of wedlock, without parents, without supervision, without any structure, without any conscience developing, because they literally, I yield myself three more minutes, because they literally have not been socialized. They literally have not had an opportunity. We should focus on them now, not out of a liberal instinct for love, brother, and humanity, although I think that's a good instinct, but for simple pragmatic reasons. If we don't, they will, or a portion of them will, become the predators 15 years from now. Mm. And Madam President, we have predators on our streets. Mm-hmm. That society has, in fact, mm-hmm. in part because of its neglect, created.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it does not mean because we created them that we somehow forgive them or do not take them out of society to protect my family and yours from them. They are beyond the pale, many of those people.
Mm.
Beyond the pale. And it's a sad commentary on society. We have no choice but to take them out of society.
Mm. It's a shame they're all black. One of the other things that's going on, and I don't know that I quarrel too much with this, but it just shows how, once again, how people are getting out of the way of the train. It's coming down the tracks. You know, just get off the tracks. It's gonna hit you. It's gonna run you over. We already know about these newspapers and media organizations that are purging people left and right for something they said a long time ago. I mean, I got an email from a friend who's an interior designer, and she got a letter from a client that she worked with 4 years ago doing some interior design, apparently a young black woman. And the woman says, you said something to me that was racist back then. And my friend has absolutely no memory of saying anything like that. Wouldn't say anything like that. But now she stands accused. And you know, they're coming for, I mean, I can't imagine that. I haven't been challenged yet, but I probably will be. But one of the things that's going on in the newspapers is now suddenly you notice, you will notice if you read papers, that when the word black is used to describe people, black people, it's being capitalized. And the logic goes like this. Black is referring to people or people. Black is referring to a color is just black. So small b on black referring to a color, capital B on black referring to people. You know, and they liken it to Irish or Russian or which are all capitalized. Now, I don't know. I guess I don't quarrel with it much, but it just interesting that there's been this very quiet. I haven't seen any public discussion about where's the capital B for black movement today. I haven't seen any of that in the papers. I haven't seen it. It's just happening. Newsrooms across the country, we damn well better capitalize black. I don't think that they conversely intend to capitalize W as in white when describing people. But, you know, remember what Tucker said. This is happening. Bruce Springsteen is one rude SOB.
I'm going to start out by sending one to the man sitting behind the Resolute desk. With all respect, sir, show some consideration and care for your countrymen and your country. Put on a fucking mask.
Bruce.
With all respect, sir, put on a fucking mask.
That's no respect. Okay, so let me go to the mailbox. From Dave, doesn't say where he is. This is about Nancy Pelosi taking down the portraits of speakers of the House that had something to do with the Confederacy. When will any mention of Senator Robert Byrd, who Joe Biden memorialized, be removed from history? Just a question. Yeah, I mean, they might get around to that, but not until Biden is elected and safely tucked away with a blanket wrapped around him in the White House. Meantime, it just, you know. Let's see what else I got. There were some interesting things. Let's try this. Okay. So this is somebody in Tulsa named Steve. I just found Thomas Sowell. I'm sure you know him, but I didn't. Oh, my God. He's been discussing the highly debated issues that we see today for more than 40 years. He says the success or failure of a specific race is highly dependent on the culture and not on actual color of one's skin. Please let your audience know about this highly educated and pragmatic voice. He has given me some hope for the future as long as more people hear his message. Well, yeah, Steve, I'm sorry. You're a little late to the party. Thomas Sowell has been a publicly smart guy for decades. And, you know, I don't know what to tell you, but yeah. Glad you finally found him. Ed writes me, regarding the Supreme Court ruling applying to LGBTQ rights against firing due to sex, you don't think it's a big deal. Well, okay. Do you believe in original intent when the bill was written, would you not think the original intent of the word sex would have been intended to be biological sex? Is this not another case of legislating from the bench? It probably is a case of legislating from the bench. And I don't think it's a big deal, because I just think that on the issue of firing someone because they are either, let's go over the LGBTQs, that would be lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer. You know, firing somebody because they suddenly said, I'm gay, or I'm a lesbian, or I'm bisexual, or I'm transgender, is, it's just not going to fly in today's society. I mean, get it. Now, having said that, I don't think that this ruling confers additional rights. I may be wrong, in which case I'll stand corrected, but the first transgender case, which argues that men who say they're women ought to be able to compete in women's sports, I bet loses. I bet totally loses. Now, as for this bathroom issue, I don't know what to say about it. I do know what I want to say about the showers. You know, a man who says he's a woman wants to shower with women. I just don't think that's going to work. And if it gets, if such a case rises to the level of the Supreme Court, I think the trans will lose. That's just what I think. A lot of screaming about Bolton. I said what I had to say about it yesterday. I'm not going to say anymore. I don't really care. I don't really care that, Bolton thinks Trump is a lousy president. Bolton thought Obama was a lousy president. He probably wasn't too happy with Bush. Dave writes, he writes about Bobby Byrd, too. Is he going to be removed? So Carl from upstate New York and Rochester writes, today's show is great. Fox really screwed up when they dropped you. Well, thank you, Carl. Best $35 I've spent. I'm letting all my friends know about your show. Thank you. Keep the faith, my friend. We need your years of experience and wisdom in these trying times. Well, that's very nice of you to say. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So in the department of isn't it that time in the show, John?
Leroy, I gotta call you so much, man. Beat my ass up, man.
Hey, old John, it's me.
Man, there's so much shit in the news.
Yeah, it's time for Khalil and his 4 minutes of funk. He's out there driving that truck trying to get you some toilet paper, man.
That's right. Hey, old snowman, it's me. Man, I got to sneak these damn calls in. Now, man, Leroy and I took the mothership to BLM headquarters. Done picked up all these motherfuckers. Man, about 700 white folks up on here. Man, come on, damn, John. What's up, man? I thought they said Black Lives Matter, man. All these white kids, man. I ain't got nothing against white people, but they're gone. You know, white kids with dreadlocks, and you got the ones with the big-ass ears and don't stretch their earlobes open like you used to see with the Mobutu warriors back in Africa back in days on National Geographic. What in the fuck, man? And they pissed off. All of them pissed off. And hell, all of them got more money than me. That's about fucked up. Yeah, man. But this is some crazy shit. They funky as hell, too, man. I don't think anybody up here... nobody took a damn shower in at least 3-4 days. I'm the only one using water. And if somebody else try to get me to play a game, another game of Hackensack, man, I'm going to have a shit fit. I can't say nothing. Like I said, I'm sneaking the damn call to you, John. Man, you got to save me from this shit, man. You got to save me. I'm stuck.
No, I ain't on the phone.
Man, John, you got to help me out of here, man.
Nah, man. Why are you tripping, man?
Yo, Don. Snowman, you got to reactivate, baby. Go downstairs into the basement. Open up that safe with all that shit in it, man. You know what I'm saying? Get a couple of AKs, some rocket launchers, some hand grenades, some tear gas, all that stuff you got in the basement, man, in the bunker.
Mm-hmm.
Look, man, I said I'd be out. I'm in the bathroom, man. Damn. What the fuck you fucking with me for, man?
John, they watching you, man.
Yeah, I know.
I'm telling you, Snowman, we got to do something quick. Now, you tell Trump, I said, because I know you talk to him all the time. Tell him, I said, yo, as soon as he win, we go in. Just go into the National Guard and just clear all that shit up. And start with the mothership, baby. This is the mothership. This is supposed to be a brother's safe haven. You gotta help me, Snowman.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yo, you gonna beam me up out of the damn bathroom, man? You gonna beam me up off the toilet? Come on, Leroy. Why you tripping?
Yo, John, come on, quick. Grace, praying for you, sweetie. Christy, you know that prayer is always going. Yo, somebody gotta come save me from Leroy.
Yeah, motherfucker. Go ahead.
Hell, John, I'll talk to you later, Snowman. I'm gone. Peace.
Okay. Well, he mentioned Grace and Christy. Christy is Grace's mother. Grace has a terrible condition. She needs she's had a couple of spinal taps that drain fluid off her. I'm no doctor. I can't explain it. But she's in pain all the time, especially if she tries to stand up. She needs surgery. She's not she's not well. And so, yes, so we are thinking about Grace and her mother, Christy. It's Paula Abdul's birthday. I did mention it because she's 62. I love that song Straight Up. But I decided instead for birthday that Tommy DeVito is the guy I want to talk about today at his birthday. He's one of the original Four Seasons. He's the bass voice and was a guitarist. Frankie Valli's the lead voice. But you can hear Tommy DeVito in there. He's 92 today. And Tommy DeVito on Walk Like a Man.
Oh, how you cry.
Apologies to Tommy DeVito. That version of that song is so muddy, you can't even hear his voice. He's that bass voice on, I think, saying Walk Like a Man. Anyway, lousy version I picked there. I don't know where that thing came from. All right. Today's a free day, so tell your friends. You can go to johngibson.com or John Gibson Radio on Facebook, and today's show will be free. And follow me on Twitter, Gibson Radio. Call the Bitch Box at 859-544-2766 and write to me at host@johngibson.com.